You know, this time of year, when we're preparing to celebrate Christmas, we think back and we see the manger scene, and we think about the shepherds and the wise men following the stars, and we think about gold and frankincense and myrrh, and we think about the animals, and we think about this baby Jesus, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's not the end. And it's only the beginning of the end. There's so much more to the story than just the baby. And there's for a lot of folks, the story of Christmas is Christianity to them. That's all. That's as far as their faith goes. It's just the baby Jesus. But he grew up. He grew up to be a man. Spent about 33 years on this earth. He grew up and he made the greatest sacrifice ever known to mankind, redeeming you and me for all of eternity. And then that was at the end when they killed him on the cross. Then he rose from the dead 3 days later. There could not have been Easter without Christmas. So Christmas is important. Christmas is a big deal. Just as Christ grew as a man, he wants us to grow as people. Now, I'm not talking about like after Thanksgiving when you grow out. I'm talking about spiritually in our faith. He expects us to grow up. He does. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Karen, thank you for that beautiful song. How many of you, does anybody not have a piece of paper that says, I will? Does anybody need one? Everybody's got one. Oh, we have one right up here that still needs one. Good. If you have your Bibles today, open them, and we're going to preach from it. We're just going to start in Genesis, go all the way through Revelation, and just see how... Now, find Matthew chapter 20 in your Bibles. I've got several different texts I'm going to use today. This is going to be kind of the focal point. So you can go there, and then if you're quick enough to follow along later, you can do that. If not, you can use the screens. We have some great guys in the back that keep you updated with the current scripture. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says this, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's an emphasis in this verse. You could put an emphasis on just about every word in there, but the emphasis really of this verse is in the words, "just as the Son of Man." Why is there an emphasis on that? Well, Jesus came to serve, not just be served, right? Why just as? Who is our model? Who's our standard? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. The emphasis there is on just as, because we are to be doing just as Christ did. Now, you may not be called to go and be nailed to a cross, but you're called to serve. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You are called to serve. If we want to follow Christ, we should we not have the attitude just as he had? He had an attitude of service. We should be servants. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John, the disciple John, writes this. He says, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." Now, there's a tall order. How many of you live exactly like Christ lived? At moments. Okay. We all have our moments. But it says here, whoever claims to live in him must live as he did. What does it mean to live in Christ? To be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be one of his, we must do as he did. Now, that's that again, that's a tall order. In this church, there are many people who serve. Christ was a servant. He's called us to be servants. In this church, there are many people that serve. And I recognize the people that serve with Children's Church. I wanted to recognize them before they left, but there are others. And when I call out your place of service, I want you to please stand up and remain standing just for a moment. We have the staff, such as me and Hal and Jonathan. We have our deacons and our deacons' wives. We have our custodial staff. We have child care workers. We have volunteers like our office staff. We have Children's Church. We have the praise team and his hands. We have women's ministry leader. We have Sunday school teachers. We have the prayer ministry, those that come and spend time just praying for you and for the service. We have the nursing home ministry and the WMU. We have maintenance people that do maintenance around here. And we have men and women who help with projects here and at the homes of our members when needed. You know, there are lots of things. There are gas lines and water lines and electrical lines that have been run out here. There's porches that have been built. There's houses that have been remodeled. There's lots of things that have been done that you may not know of. But there are men and women who are stepping up and saying, I want to do that. I need to do that. I will do that. And I don't want any recognition for it, but I'm going to be involved in that. There are youth ministry. If you're involved with youth ministry, we have money counters, people that count the tithes and offerings that come in. That's an important job, folks. We need to have money in the bank. There are greeters, those that greet the people that are coming in for service. There's the food pantry. We have a whole ministry revolved around the food pantry. There are the men who collect the offerings on Sunday mornings. That's a place of service. There's child care for special events. There are men and women who cook the food when needed, like when we have a funeral or for someone who's sick. There are men and women who cook food for them. There are those that make calls to visitors and those that are the missing in action, those that we haven't seen in some time. And there are some that regularly make phone calls to those. There are people that make coffee on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. We have the audio and visual, the audio video guys in the back that make all this stuff happen. There are lots of things and lots of people involved. And I'm sure I've left somebody out. But I just want to give you an example. Look around. This is an example of how many people are involved in the functioning of this church. And I want to tell you, we want to tell you, thank you. Thank you. I need to let you know, though, that there are other opportunities. There are other opportunities for people to serve, such as ministering to the shut-ins. A Wednesday evening children workers, bus ministry, regular organized church visitation and phone calls, encouragement ministry, someone to take care of the praise team, such as having water and mints or cough drops ready for them, because there are times when they just need a little, they find themselves in a little bind. I do the same. I'm about to lose my caretaker, I think, maybe. There are, we need more Sunday school teachers. There are flower beds around this church that need to be taken care of. There's cleaning and straightening of the sanctuary. You know, after people leave, chairs are kind of moved around, stuff moved around. There's, if you've taken envelopes and whatnot out of the chairs, which we want you to do, but they need to be refilled. And things like that, there are all kinds of things that need to be done. The decorations, you know, we've got beautiful decorations up now. After Christmas, they'll have to come down. Somebody's going to take them down. Somebody's going to redo some stuff on the stage, I'm sure. Somebody's going to put up a different, you know, after Christmas, we probably won't keep the Christmas banner in the baptistry. We'll change that out. Things like that. There are always places like that need to be taken care of. And if all of that happens, we would probably need a volunteer coordinator, someone to keep track in charge of of saying, okay, don't forget, this is this time for this. We need to do this. So there are lots of places to serve. And again, I'm sure I've left off some areas, but just another example of areas where you can serve. There may be an area not mentioned that you're thinking of that you would like to serve in. I want to encourage you to be involved. And this is not a selfish request. It's a biblical command. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, I preached a sermon a few weeks ago called Give and Take. Y'all remember that? Give and Take? God wants us to be givers and not just takers. Now, do we need to come to church to get something? Absolutely. Absolutely we do. I'm not saying that we should not take. God is not saying we should not take, but there is a give and take required. Give and take. Are y'all familiar with that phrase, give and take, give and take, give and take? Did you notice nobody says take and give? Take and give. It just doesn't sound right, does it? It doesn't flow right. It's give and take. Give comes first. You give and you take. Give and take. Give and take. God wants us to be givers. I believe that every member of this church should have an area in which they serve. And it doesn't have to be a big, high-profile position to be effective either. Everyone here, if asked, what do you do at church? Everyone should be able to tell what they do at Dolan Baptist Church. Everyone should have a place of service. I shared with the Wednesday night group, I read a few quotes this week. One of them was from Will Rogers, and he said this, "We can't all be heroes. Somebody has to sit on the curb and clap as they go by." Encouragement is a huge way to serve. I read another quote, and I don't know who this one was by, but it says this, "Summer showers do more good than hurricanes. They just don't get a lot of publicity." Summer showers, the steady, the regular, they do more good than the hurricane, but they don't get a lot of publicity. They don't get a lot of attention. They're behind the scenes. It's kind of almost seems like it just happened. It's supposed to happen, and there it happens, just like I thought. It's always there. The heat's always on in the wintertime. The coffee's always made when we walk in. But those are important things. Heat and coffee, yes. But I'm talking about everything else that's regular in our lives. And we need those things, but somebody's doing that. Somebody's doing that stuff. I want to encourage you. Maybe that's something you want to step up. How many of you know that givers make better receivers? Givers make better receivers. Those who give are better able to understand and appreciate something when they're on the receiving end of it. Oftentimes, when I'm able to receive something and I understand the impact, the significance of that, it's because I have given something and I understand what it took for somebody to give that to me. So givers make better receivers. The same is true spiritually. When we're willing to give of ourselves through serving others, the blessings of God we receive are more meaningful and are recognized as truly from the Father of heavenly lights, the giver of all good things. Now, I've searched the scripture, and I've not been able to find the verse. And so maybe some of you can help me. I have not been able to find the verse that says, "Thou shalt join the church and do nothing." That may be like in Second Hesitations or something like that. I'm not sure. But I can't find it. Scripture doesn't say you ought to join the church and then just kick back and enjoy yourself and do nothing. It doesn't say it. It's not in there. It's quite the opposite. Throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, God is calling us to be united and to function as one body. Paul writes time and time again about this, that we are to operate as the body of Christ. Each one has a function, and when everyone does that function or that duty, it makes the whole body work effectively. Working together for the greater purpose. Now, if you think I'm preaching this because I want to be served, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. It's not that I need to be served. It's that you need to serve. Scripture talks about don't serve man like you're serving man. I'm paraphrasing this big time, okay? So it's not a direct quote. It doesn't say, don't serve man like you're serving man. Do everything like you're serving the Lord. So when you serve, yes, somebody gets a benefit of it, but you're honoring and blessing God the Father by serving Him. I need to serve. You need to serve. We all need to serve. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did, must do as Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He served. He served. Now, you had this piece of paper that I handed out. How many of you got the paper that said, I might? Anybody get that one? How about, I should? Anybody get that one? Or, I could? How many of you got, I would, but? Did nobody got those? How many of you got, I will? Okay, good, good. That's the one you were supposed to get. I will. It simply says, I will. What I'm going to ask you to do is to write down some area where you will serve. I'm challenging you. I'm calling you out. Where will you serve? And you can be creative. Pray about where the Lord would have you serve. It may be something that was mentioned, or maybe something that you thought of that was not mentioned. I don't want you to feel coerced or to feel that you're being made to work. I want you to understand that service is being obedient to the Lord. And I want, better than that, the Lord wants us to desire to serve. The Lord wants us to desire to serve Him. I've said many times that when we do mission work, we go to be a blessing, right? We go to be a blessing to others, but we always come back feeling blessed. That's how it works. Give and take. I want you to experience God's blessing in your lives because of your obedience to Him. So what I want to ask you to do is to write down on that paper, I will, and put your name on it. Yeah, I'm serious. Write down, I will, and put your name on it. And then at the invitation time, when we have the invitation time here in just a moment, there's a basket right here in the front. I'm moving. I put it there where Hal's sitting on that first chair, and you can just come and just lay your piece of paper in there, and I'm gonna go kind of look at that and just kind of see what shakes out, what happens. But you might be here today as a guest, or even contemplating joining this church. This may not have been the best motivational sermon for joining a church. You need to understand that this is not my plea. Wherever you go to church, you are called to serve. Whether it's at Dolan Baptist Church, whether it's across the town in another church, whether it's across the states in another country, wherever you go, you need to be in church, you need to be serving. You're called to serve. You might be here today and feel that you've done your time. I put in my time. I've done it. I've served all my life until a few years ago, and I've served. I've done my time. I have a passage of Scripture that I feel compelled to share with you. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you had shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. I want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. To the very end. So that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. What is the very end? My friend, let me tell you this. If you're a child of God, you will never know the very end. All this life may come to an end, but it's not the very end. Again, it's just the end of the beginning. Or the beginning of the end, which one or the other. But we'll be in a transition phase. A very quick one. But you will never know the very end if you're a child of God. But as long as you're here on this earth, and I tell people, that, and they're going to get sick and tired of me saying it, as long as there is breath in you, God still has a plan and a purpose for you. And I can guarantee you that part of that plan and that purpose is to serve, to be a servant. And it may not be, you know, for somebody that's elderly, you may not be able to pick up nail guns and swing hammers and build porches and stuff like that. That's okay. Maybe you can write cards. Maybe you can make phone calls. Maybe you can just spend time in prayer with the rest of those that are having a special time of prayer. Maybe you can be an encourager. And you can let people know just how much you appreciate them. Those are important things. Those are very important things to the very end. Maybe you're here today and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. I don't want you to go through this thing blindly. Jesus has given the greatest sacrifice for you, and when you receive it, there are expectations. I don't ever want to be accused of telling someone, if you just receive Jesus Christ, everything's all better, and then that's all you got to do. Just pray that prayer, get wet in the baptistry, and then it's all good from there. I don't want to mislead someone like that, because the truth is, there are expectations. We're to live as Christ lived. We're going to be a follower of Christ. We're to live as Christ lived. Right? Expectations just got raised. We're to serve as Christ served. We're to do as Christ did. There are expectations. So I don't want you to... Before you make a commitment, if you know somebody that doesn't know Christ, you might want to be brutally honest with them and say, look, you know, the Bible says this ain't for everybody. Matter of fact, more people will not receive Christ than those that do. But those that do receive the great blessing. But although salvation is free to you, it came at a great cost. And salvation is not something you just take and then do nothing. There are expectations. You don't earn salvation, but because you've received that great gift, you live as Christ did, and that was to serve. To serve. To serve. Where will you serve? Where will you serve? How will you serve? Maybe you don't know today. I'm not going to let you off the hook. You need to find out. You need to find out. This time, my voice has been just about shot. I woke up this morning and it was down. I had to pick it up before it could even look up. It was so down there, but it's about gone. So I'm about to shut up. But my challenge to you is: where will you serve? This church. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that this church is just a church of a bunch of lazy people, the people that don't want to work. You saw that a while ago with the people that were standing. And I will tell you that there were people that should have been standing that weren't. It's because they're those kind of people that are behind the scenes. They don't need, don't desire, don't want the recognition. But there were other people that were not standing that are serving. There are people that need to be serving. Where will you serve? Take your piece of paper. Put on there where you will serve. Put your name on there and bring it to the wicker basket. That's my challenge to you. I'm not going to pass it and make you let you kind of slip off and get off the hook. I'm going to make you come right down here to the front. What are you going to do? Father in heaven, this is your day. You created this day. You created this day for us to honor you, Father. Father, may we honor you with our very best. I pray, Lord, that as we've sung the songs and we've read the scripture, we've heard your word, Father, that you challenge us, you change us, you mold us, you shape us, that you are growing us and maturing us, Father. And part of that maturing process that we understand that there are expectations, that you expect us to live as you did. Lord, that's a tall order. May we not be discouraged and say, well, I could never live up to it, so why even try? Father, may we offer you our very best. Father, you gave us your very best. Lord, may we give you our very best back. Give and take. Lord, you give to us, we take from you. But you give to us so that we could take, so that we can give. Father, may we be givers. May we be givers of ourselves, givers of our time, givers of our resources. Father, may we honor you with our whole life. Father, I pray for those that are in attendance this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us to be bold, to be courageous, and to step up and step out into something new and it may be unknown for us. But Father, I pray that you would encourage us to do that because that's obedience. Father, I pray that we would be obedient to you, that we would follow your lead, that we would do as you did. Father, help us now. Spirit, you've spoken, and I pray, Father, that we, as your Spirit has spoken to us, that we would respond back to you. Give and take. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?
I give you my life. I give you my trust, Jesus. You are my God, and you are enough, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, my heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hand. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. I lay down my life, I take up my cross, Jesus. And you are my God, whatever the cost, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hand. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. And all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live, and all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. I give you my life, I give you my heart, Jesus. And you are my God, and you are enough, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hand. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. I lay down my life. I take up my cross. Jesus. For you are my God, whatever the cost. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hand. Take it all. My life in your hand. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. And I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will live. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hand. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it, and take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord.
Thank you. Would you be seated for just a moment? Somebody was excited to get to sit down. In your bulletin today, wait a minute. First of all, I hope and pray that you understand my heart this morning. My heart is not to make anybody feel bad. My heart is not to make anybody feel good. My heart is for you to seek what the Lord's will is for your life, and that you would be obedient to that end. All the days of God, to the very end, to the very end. In your bulletin, we have, there's a big piece of paper, the poinsettia paper. All these poinsettias. Normally what we'll do each year is we'll take these orders for you to buy poinsettias in honor or memory of, or for whatever reason. Then we'll take up those orders, and then we'll order enough poinsettias to cover those orders. This year was different because our supplier is not doing it anymore, and we had a little difficulty, so it was getting late. So we went ahead and bought and ordered 40 poinsettias, comparable to what we've done the last couple of years. So we're doing this backwards. We bought these poinsettias, and now we're offering them to you. If you would like to purchase one or two or three or however many in honor, in memory of, or for whatever reason, they're $6.15 a piece, and really that just kind of covers the cost. It's not a profit, not a fundraiser for the church. But we'd ask you to do is to allow the church to continue to use them for decorations, and then at the end of the right before Christmas, we'll let you take them home to your home. You can keep them forever. This time of year, every time we decorate with poinsettias, it reminds me of my wedding day. We were married January 4th, and we asked the church where Rebecca grew up if they would leave the poinsettias out for an extra week so that we could use them for our decorations. So when I walked in this morning and saw the poinsettias, it automatically makes me think of my wedding day. And that was a good day. That was a great day. Okay, I do have a few announcements. If I could read my own writing, I would. Business meeting tonight. There's a business meeting tonight at 5:30. 5:30. Okay? 30 minutes before church. 5:30. A budget's going to be presented, and then also we're going to introduce an amendment to the bylaws that won't be able to be voted on tonight because of how our bylaws are written. We'll introduce that tonight to be voted on in January, but you want to be here for that. Ladies retreat. If you have not turned in your money for the ladies retreat, you need to do that ASAP. Please see Sherry. Sherry, wave your hand. Please see Sherry for that. Get that taken care of. Also, I want to announce to you again that we're taking nominations. If you know of someone that is in need this Christmas, whether it be with just maybe filling their pantry, or maybe they're struggling to provide gifts for their kiddos or something like that, we're taking nominations for those. If you have a name like that that needs to be brought to the church, it's all kept confidential. But if you'll turn that also into Sherry, she's going to be taking those, and we'll get together and figure out how to arrange that, make that happen. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering that we're now in the Christmas season, Lottie Moon Christmas offering. For international missions, our goal is, again, $1,000. And to date, we've collected $373. Now, part of what we do each year to raise funds for this offering is we have the mailbox. So in lieu of you, if you, several people like to send Christmas cards to the church family or to people in the church. And so in lieu of buying postage and paying the postal service to deliver them, what we'd like to ask you to do is to go ahead and buy your cards, fill them out, put their names on them, bring them to the church, and write a check out or put cash or whatever, an IOU. IOUs don't really work that great, but they work sometimes. But you can fill out how much you would have spent in postage, and we'll write that to the church, put it in the box, and that'll go to this Annie Armstrong Christmas offering. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And then as those come in, and we'll get them set out on the tables, we'll put some tables out there with everybody's names. And so each time you come to church, you can go find your name and pick up cards. It's kind of a neat deal. It's a delivery service. So I think that's it. That's it. That's all the announcements I have. I'm glad you were here today. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. Did everybody hear that? Blake Havard, who's a member of this church, is in the military, he's in the Navy. And he's somewhere where he can't really tell us where he is right now, I think. And so he's over there in the Middle Eastern Gulf region. And so Vicky's going to be sending out a Christmas package. If you'd like to contribute something to have to send to Blake, and he has some buddies that he kind of shares with over there too. So if you would like to contribute to that, please see Vicky. And again, she's going to be mailing that out on Friday. So thank you for being here today. I pray that you received a blessing by being here. I pray that you received a blessing by being obedient to the Lord. And I pray that some of you were challenged today and have responded to a call to maybe step up and step out, maybe a little bit out of your comfort zone. But you feel the call of God telling you to, you got to do something. And so I thank you for those that have participated and have committed to do that. Now the challenge is to follow through. Follow through. Follow through. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sunshine outside. Father, we thank you that you are inside, that you are outside. Lord, you are everywhere, but that you are here with us and you are aware of us being here. Lord, we have honored you. I pray that we've done our best. I pray that we've lifted you high as we've worshiped you, Father. You are the object of all of our affection here in this place today. You are the only one worthy. And Father, you are truly worthy. Father, may we continue to give our very best. And may we have the attitude that as we serve, we are not serving the people, but we are serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us. Father, may we understand that that is an expectation you have of us, that we would serve, that we would do things, not to earn salvation, but because of salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the greatest Christmas gift of all, and that is Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. Amen. God bless you.